Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
And Eric Astroslager.
Hello.
And that is, that's from the Seinfeld episode of the Hello.
Yes. I don't know. It's just, I guess it is. I don't have a catchphrase, so I just say hello longer and louder than anyone else here.
That's a good Seinfeld callback. And, you know, it's basically like TBS On Demand used to, you know, offer Seinfeld in high def for free to watch. And now they started charging me. It seems odd seeing that you cannot not run into a Seinfeld rerun. But
I know I think if you turn the TV on at random, you'll probably hit a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, so I don't know. But anyway, you know how this works. Filling some time before the weekend. So let's get right on top of this. Mac, please do inform us of what you've been up to lately.
Well, I guess this is our big Halloween episode, isn't it?
Technically, I suppose it would be. That's correct.
Yeah, so... if we had done show prep, we could talk all about Halloween stuff right now. Let's see. I've been doing my part by watching a lot of scary movies lately.
Okay. Like what?
Like I said last week, I've been going through the Nightmare on Elm Street films, reacquainting myself with good old Freddy Krueger. And
how would you track his trajectory from the first movie to last?
You know. They hold together pretty well, actually. Yeah, he does get sort of, you know, more comical as it goes on. And he starts getting less... You start to root for him to kill the horny teenagers instead of, you know, hoping that the horny teenagers will escape him. But other than that...
Let me ask you this, then. Do you think there's more... Because I don't really think horny teenagers in Elm Street. I think in Friday the 13th, they're all horny. You
know? Yeah, that's kind of my just catch-all for slasher movie
gotcha.
Victims.
Gotcha. Yeah.
although there are a few.
So it's also a decent catch-all for teenagers
in general.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
but you know, it's I'm surprised at how well it kind of holds together. There's in the first couple of movies, it's about Freddy wanting to escape the dream world and come into the real world, and then the middle of the series, it's the teenagers are kind of taking their own strength into the dream world and facing Freddy on his own terms. And then the series ends sort of back where it begins with our heroes drawing Freddy out of the dream world and into the real world. So it kind of goes in a circle that way. And that's really interesting. And also each movie has a scene where there's in the dream, someone sees a creepy little blonde girl. And the sixth movie, which... Once Upon a Time was going to be the last one, actually reveals who that little girl is, which is it's as if they planned the whole thing from the beginning.
Spoiler this, because I can't remember.
Spoiler?
Yeah, I can't. Who cares?
It's Freddy's daughter.
Oh. Wow. Is that in the 3D version? Freddy's Dead? Is that it?
Yes, that was real in Freddy's Dead.
And was she like the main character in that?
Throughout the movie, you're supposed to think that it's the whiny guy, and he thinks he's Freddy's son.
Okay.
But then at the end, it's revealed that, no, it's the other lady is the long-lost daughter.
Gotcha.
So, see, that's like an enormous spoiler.
Did they reveal who the girl's mother is? Because I'm guessing it would take more than a few Zimas to get to that point in her relationship with Freddy.
I don't think the family knew what he was up to at the time, so it was just Mrs. Krueger.
Oh, so before it was before the unpleasantness. I got you.
Yes.
All right. So, general feeling on how it holds up.
I'm coming from the perspective of a fan. You know, I was in high school when these movies were at the height of their popularity, so I was one of those horny teenagers. But this is coming from a fan's perspective. I think they do hold up really well. They really entertain. Even the weaker ones I found, like the second one, is kind of the one that is less tied together than with the rest of them. But even it kind of has its moments. So,
all right.
And I'm not just talking about the business with the gym coach, but we won't go there.
No, we don't. All right. Very good. How about you, Eric? What's happening with you?
Well, it's almost as though we planned it. I have some scary movies to talk about, too.
Excellent.
Sweet.
It is that time of year, and I'm watching them to keep up with the... another plug for the F This Movie F Scary Movies Challenge 2. which is you go on their site and you can post your 7-word review of scary movies as you watch them throughout the month. So Mac, you know, should head on over there and.
I started doing it, but I forgot.
So. Well, unforget. Anyway, so these are all movies I've seen on Netflix, because Netflix Watch Instantly has really opened up a whole world of scary movies and things that I should have seen maybe, but didn't get around to. Just this past week, I watched the first two Paranormal Activity movies, which I'd never seen before.
Oh yeah, right.
And they're okay. Like, the first one is better than the second one, certainly. I've actually watched quite a few of these sort of fake documentary horror movies over the month, and I get the sense whenever I watch them that if the exact same story was made using standard, you know, film storytelling techniques, it wouldn't be all that good. It's sort of like they kind of like hide a lot of, you know, silliness or kind of leaps in logic just by setting it up this way. And, you know, in the Paranormal Activity movies, not a whole lot happens on purpose. And some of the scariest moments are ones where you're kind of anticipating what's going to happen. I think that it's a credit to the first one that, you know, when they had like the night vision camera thing going, they speed up the clock to kind of show the passage of time. And whenever that clock slows down to normal time, you're just like on the edge of your seat waiting to see what's going to happen. And even if it's just, you know, a door opening or something, it's still a little freaky. The second one, I think, goes a little too far. And it really like overplays the whole, if you've seen these movies, this sort of low rumbling bass that tells you that the demon's going to attack. So, but there, you know, it was interesting to see them. At some point when the third one is available in a free format, I'll probably check it out, but I'm not going to rush out to the theaters to see it. Did you guys see these movies? No.
I've seen the first one.
Yeah.
I thought it started out really suspenseful, but then it got more and more ridiculous as it went along.
Yeah,
I watched it on YouTube, the last scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of similarities to Blair Witch, which is probably not accidental. It's another movie where not a whole lot happens throughout the course of the movie, but then there's just kind of a freaky ending. And because it's a fake documentary, you can only see what the camera sees. They sort of make up for that in the second one by basically setting it in a house with a family where they install all these security cameras that are recording everything. So then they can actually like switch between shots and stuff. It's a little bit of a cheat, but the first one is just this one camera, and if it's just set up on a tripod and someone runs out of the room, then you don't know what happens. But and then I also saw Red State, the new Kevin Smith movie.
Oh yeah, how is that? I've been curious to check that out.
it's if you have Netflix, you can check it out. It just came out. I think it was made available this past week or so. It's okay. It's a very strange movie. It's sort of a thriller / horror movie. I mean, it starts as more of a horror movie than it ends up as. If you don't know anything about it, it's kind of set in Texas and focuses on a kind of a freaky fringe religious cult that's sort of loosely based on the Westboro Baptist nutjobs. And except this particular cult is taking it upon themselves to kill people. So the first 45 minutes are really pretty suspenseful. This sort of starts with this trio of boys who's kind of lured into a trap, and they end up inside the compound. And the way Smith directs it is very un-Kevin Smith-like. It's not like any of his other movies. It's much more kind of direct and serious. And there's some interesting camera work, and there's even a really kind of tense, long scene where he basically shows an entire sermon that this guy gives while in the background there's some figure like strapped to a cross with a bag over its head. I mean, it's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like it's going to be really promising, and then about halfway through the movie, it just takes a left turn tonally and story-wise and just becomes this whole other thing that isn't nearly as interesting. And I won't tell you what that is if you want to see it, but it's a weird kind of jarring movie, almost as though Smith didn't know what he wanted to do or kind of wrote himself into a corner and just said, oh, I'll try this. Maybe he got bored with what he was writing. I don't know. There is one moment at the end, again, I won't spoil what it is specifically, but there's one point at the end where he seems like he's going to do something I've never seen in a movie before, and then he doesn't. I guess I gave that away. And it just sort of ends in a conventional kind of very kind of lazy expository way, and it's just sort of – it's disappointing. I mean, it's not like I am a great Kevin Smith fan or anything, but to see him do something that's different and then sort of not know quite how to handle it is sort of disappointing. But if you have Netflix, it's definitely worth checking out. So that's me.
All right. Very good. That's impressive. That's impressive. You've brought a lot to the table there. I don't have much. The only thing I'll say, keeping with the spooky vein, is I'm 3 episodes into the new season of Dexter.
Oh, cool.
That is airing as we speak. So no spoilers at all, of course, but it's just stuff you know already. There's 3 particular guest stars. There's Colin Hanks and I'm blanking on his name. What's his face? Edward James Olmos.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
And Mos Def. And Mos Def is like this. So early on, obviously, there's tons of stuff to go.
Yeah, there's 3 very different actors of 3 different styles.
So. Yeah, but it's the theme. So there's speaking of religion, that's the theme right there. Like Mos Def plays a reformed criminal who opens up a body shop and he hires ex-cons, and there's a relationship building between he and Dexter. And meanwhile, they've kind of gone back to that big bad type of setup, and there's some pretty cool, increasingly macabre murders. So, for example, one guy, I won't even say it, I'm not even bothering.
So I watched that first episode, and it seemed to like set up a lot of that stuff. And it was interesting, like I think I said a few episodes back, to see them kind of take a step back and go to the kind of the formula of the early seasons.
Yeah, and I like it. It's because
I enjoyed it too.
Because they got two. I mean, I don't think it's spoiled to say that Edward J. Mull, the two characters that Olmos and Hanks play, they're kind of connected with this. And so very early in, and their motivations are unclear, but they are definitely creepy. So in fact, because there was another episode we have to catch up on, but my wife was like, I don't want to watch it today. We'll take a break from that. it's pretty dark, but good stuff as always, and always very engaging, really whisks you along. So
the real question of suspense is. Is your Showtime subscription going to last until the end of the season?
That's true. It's close. 3 months. It's going to cut it real close. So, I mean, I think there's 13 episodes. So, right down to the wire. Plus, we also, I haven't even watched the first episode, but I want to get into Homeland. So, we'll see. I'm like someone who keeps balance transferring their enormous credit card debt, free offer from my company. The Showtime one, it's like 3 months free and then like, and $10 a month for a year. So, that's a lot of action on there. So, but Dexter's as good as we tend to like it around here, and it's moving along nicely. So. Had a great episode recently where he went to his own high school reunion, and that's all I'll say about that.
But, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, very good. Stuff for working out for the site. Mac.
Okay, more scary movie stuff. It's the season. What I've got here, this is called The Halloween Collection. That's a little bit of a misnomer. It's the 6th, 7th, and 8th movies in the series. Yeah.
Well, it is a Hollywood.
Yes. So we've got Halloween 6, which is the really insane one where we learned that Michael Myers is being controlled by the cult of the Druids, and there's a whole other branch of the Strode family that we never met before, and there's a baby in jeopardy because there's the prophecy that has to be fulfilled, but then it turns out that the Druids aren't really Druids, they're geneticists, and they're trying to clone Michael, or they're trying to get his DNA for some other reason.
And Season of the Witch sounds like it has more in common with the mythology than
that. Yeah, because that one also had the Druids going on. But it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense at all. I did some reading about it, and it was a troubled behind-the-scenes production.
Ah, very good.
Then we have Halloween H2O, which was the sort of...
is that Jamie Lee Returns?
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis returns, and... That one's not bad. It owes a lot to Scream because it was made in the post-Scream hysteria with all the other postmodern horror flicks of the late 90s. It's not bad. It does away with all that complicated mythology and just goes back to Michael Myers is a guy with a mask and a knife and he kills people. And that's really all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And wrapping it up is Halloween Resurrection, which has... it does the reality TV thing where people are locked up in the Myers house overnight and they've all equipped with cameras and they're being broadcast live. And Michael is in the house with him and he's killing them all off one by one while the whole world watches. So it's kind of like Halloween meets the Truman Show. Nice. And for some reason, Busta Rhymes is in the movie and he does all these kung fu moves to try to fight Michael. I guess the idea was that they wanted to do a whole series of movies with Michael Myers versus Busta Rhymes. He was going to be like the new hero of Halloween. But crazy enough, that never happened. Yeah. So, three movies, all part of one franchise, but each one's completely different from the other. So.
All right. Well, thanks for inflicting that upon us. All right, Eric, how about you?
All right, well, I've got an even scarier movie. This is called Winnie the Pooh, and it's the one bright patch in our show tonight, I guess. This is the new Winnie the Pooh movie that came out over the summer, and we wanted to see it but hadn't got a chance to check it out in the theaters. And it's really good. It goes back, you know, all the way back to the old 2D, you know, hand drawn animation style. Looks very similar to the 60s, I guess. Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which we've been watching recently in our household with our daughter. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just really sweet and imaginative and clever and really funny. And it's just not that I, you know, don't enjoy, you know, CGI, you know, animated movies, but it's refreshing to see something in an old style done this well and with so much affection for the source material. There's a few changes. It's narrated by John Cleese, which is never bad. And I'm pretty sure Winnie the Pooh's voice is the same. I think it's Sterling Holloway. They have some new voices. I mean, it's, you know, it's been
Busta Rhymes, right?
Busta Rhymes plays Eeyore, of course, and
Nolan North.
Nolan North plays everyone else. But yeah, it's not really a knock against the movie, but the one thing I think that maybe didn't make it, you know, as enticing a draw in the theaters is that the whole movie is only 63 minutes long, which is short. It, when it played in the theaters, it played with a cartoon before it, which is included on the Blu-ray. But honestly, I mean, I think it's a very kind of tight, efficient, you know, hour long. There's no padding. It really flows nicely. It's just really, really charming. So
yeah, for the target audience, it's probably the ideal length. So.
Yeah, I mean, really, I have no complaints. I didn't finish watching it and think, oh, but I wanted to know more about Tigger's parents.
They just left you wanting more poop.
Yeah, I mean, I want the backstory. Yeah, right.
A complex mythology.
Exactly.
Well, when
exactly.
Rob Zombie gets a hold of the remake.
Right. I mean, obviously, they get a little bit into how Tigger was originally controlled by druids.
Yep.
You know, maybe that's for the sequel, I guess.
Rob Zombie's Pooh. All right. Let's see. We'll keep with the theme. I've been doing a lot of these, you know, the reality ghost hunting series. Three or four versions of them. So I got to add another one to the list. Ghost Adventures from the Travel Channel. So I don't know, I mean, the same game plan, spooky location, they interview some people, dig up the lore, then these three guys lock themselves overnight and they've got their night vision camera and they're coming out with this equipment that they piece together from Radio Shack, you know, and, you know, and any movement, any little thing drops, it's like, that's, you know, it's ghost evidence. And I mean, for me, it was like, you know, they're in like abandoned penitentiaries in the middle of the night. And how are you not going to hear things? Just, you know, how do you not hear things? I mean, I try to sleep in my house, I hear things. I don't know, maybe I'm like, you know, maybe this is on a hellmouth or something. My house is on hellmouth. But I mean, just like, yeah, if something's, there's some kind of rustling in a penitentiary, I think you're safe. But really the draw is this guy, and I don't have his name. He's a guy, he's like the main, he saw a ghost when he was a kid and it compelled him to be an investigator. And he's just like this big, guy, I think in my review I mentioned, he splits his time between Gold's Gym and watching reruns of the real Ghostbusters. He's just this big ripped dude, but he's so funny. Like, he tries to pick fights with the ghosts. It's very inadvertent, but he gets in there, and he's like, there's a, so you go to the penitentiary, and they go cell by cell, and he just talks trash. Are you in here? How do you do? You want to shiv me, don't you? I'm joking. And he's being completely serious. You want to shiv me. Don't you? And then there's like another place where there's a demonic possession perhaps, and he's in the middle screaming, yeah, you scared a lot of people, but you've met your match now. And it's all not at all self-aware. So that guy might be enough of a draw. Because when you've seen one of these, you've seen them all, but.
You know, in movies, that guy who acts like that in a haunted house is usually one of the first ones to get killed.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're just honestly at this point they're pleading for some footage. Because what they do is they record. It's very shifty, this technology, but they record white noise, and using their technology, they decode the voices within the white noise.
Right, the EVPs.
Yeah, right. There you go, and they play it back, and you know, they try to. Decipher and even subtitles of what they're saying, you know, like supposedly the ghost says, you know, get out, but it just sounds like, you know, so you just got to trust their decoding ability. So, but I mean, kudos to them for being earnest. But it's just, it is absolutely, you've seen one, you've seen them all. So,
you know, I think if the Travel Channel were going to have a ghost show, it would be like, you know, ghosts reviewing tourist destinations.
That's right.
You know, where's the best place for ghosts to eat? What's the most ghost-friendly restaurant in Greece? What are the sexiest ghost beaches? That kind of thing.
But it's really amazing. Like, every random cable channel has a ghost hunting show.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Food Network probably has a ghost hunting show. You know, the Spice Channel will probably get a ghost hunting show. Everyone's just trying to get in on this. So, and at some point, I just find myself, you know, hopefully Michael's not listening to this, just writing the same review. It's the same stuff. So, all right. So let's move on, Mac. Where are we looking now?
All right. Why don't we take a look at what's going to come out next week on DVD and Blu-ray? And you listening at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. From there, we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for November 1st. Just talk about what's on the list that strikes us as being interesting. Probably the big Hollywood release of the week would have to be Cars 2.
Oh, yeah.
On multiple editions.
Eric, did you end up seeing that or no?
No, I never did. Which is,
I haven't even seen the first Cars. For some reason, quite appeal to me.
It's weird. I mean, usually if a Pixar movie comes out, I'm kind of gung ho to check it out. I want to see it at some point, but it just. Yeah.
So, what are your what are your thoughts on Scrooged?
Oh, I love that movie.
I it's been a while, but I do remember enjoying it as well. I just remember, like, the trailer for his Bill Murray's Scrooge movie involved acid rain. I remember that being very funny. So, that's all you got.
Yeah, Bill Murray's really funny. It takes a lot of sort of pot shots at, you know, TV culture and hyped TV hype, which is really funny. And the special effects are just amazing. Oh, and Carol Kane is one of the ghosts.
That's
hilarious.
That's right. Like, she kept hitting him.
She keeps punching and kicking him. Yeah, it's great.
Award for most creative disc art. It's got to go to Machete Maidens.
Very well-placed title.
Yes.
Oh, it's not just Machete Maidens. It's Machete Maidens Unleashed.
Yeah. True.
I got to admit, there's this box set of The Fugitive, the complete series. That's some cool disc art. I'd like that on a poster.
They're showing all like the collection of the all the Twilight Zone Blu-ray sets.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's just Amazon packaging them together. If that's an official, doesn't look like a box set or anything. I was expecting that to come up this holiday season, but I wonder if this is it. Either way, if you have $260 to spend, go for it.
Yeah, Bikini Time Machine.
Does that mean the bikinis are the time machines?
I don't know. I think at this point... Oh, there's a Triceratops in the background there, yeah. So...
But no, the one bikini girl's wearing some metal contraption on her head. I'm guessing that's the time
machine. That must be the...
Kind of looks like that thing Doc Brown was wearing when Marty knocked on his door in the 50s.
See, there's a Liam Neeson film collection. I wonder what's on that. Does not say. It just says it's by Mickey Rourke, so who knows?
Yeah. Liam Neeson must be real flattered. So, the Liam Neeson collection starring Mickey Rourke.
That is Mickey Rourke's favorite Liam Neeson movie.
Oh, there's a lot on here. Bounty, Prayer for Dying, yeah. Nell, Shining Through, Rob Roy, Kinsey, Kingdom of Heaven, and Taken. Man, 10 discs.
Wow. There's a startling absence, and that is Darkman.
Oh yeah.
It is Darkman.
Yeah. So of all the Spielberg movies yet to be released on Blu-ray, I'm guessing Hook is not at any, top of anyone's list.
Yeah.
But here it is.
You think of that press release? Spielberg movie coming to Blu-ray.
Oh.
All right.
Well, we got Water for Elephants. That was a big release this year, starring that little whiny sissy boy from Twilight.
Was it a big release?
Well, it was a big studio release.
Okay.
It was released.
It was released.
Not a big. And I'm sure on a screen it was really big.
Oh, look at this. Tappy Toes. That's an interesting concept.
I love this.
He ain't winging it, it says.
Waka waka. All right, well, kind of an odd selection here, but this should be something that appeals, so feel free and support DVD Verdict. So, inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac?
How about Flying Down to Rio?
All right, very good. Eric?
I'll go with Bride's Head Revisited.
Mine.
Sorry.
Crap. That's a good one, too. Man, how about... All right, for your Grand Theft Auto fans out there, Hot Coffee.
My backup was going to be The Best of Lydia.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
How about Holiday Baggage?
I was gonna go with Rawhide.
That's good, too. I guess there's a pretty good amount here, so... How about Bye Bye Pacifier?
For the kinky fans.
That's right. Baby on your bottle. Yeah. Okay, let's go wrap this up with our ambush topics, and I'll start off, guys. Again, I've embraced the Halloween motif here. I'm really going on. So, scenes with people or ghosts or anything with the just a practical sheet over someone's head with two eyes punched out. That's it. And it could be whatever.
Don't they do that in Beetlejuice? Don't they actually
a good one?
Yeah.
Try to scare the
Dietzes?
Dietzes, that's it. Yeah, that's good. And they don't have feet. That's right. Which I never understood in Beetlejuice how, right? Like they couldn't see them. Right? Wasn't that the problem? Like only Winona Ryder could see them. So that's, you know.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Doing these things, and then you know when they that pretty cool scene where like pulling their face over their head and
right.
You know, hand up their jaw or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what's the point if they can't see him? But whatever.
It's like they were new to the ghost thing, so they didn't know how to hunt.
Ah, all right.
And they'd read the handbook.
They did that.
That's right. That's right. That thing reads like stereo instructions.
Ah. All right, Mac sheet.
Let's see.
Well, my members do not count.
Well, I guess just going back to the Halloween and Michael Myers is a bit where he's got the sheet over himself with the boyfriend's glasses on.
A very unsettling scene, even though it's not at all. All right. Well, I was originally going with the Beetlejuice, but I guess the backup would be at the very end. And this is just a callback to Eric, who reviewed The Frighteners recently.
Mm-hmm.
Is at the end of they like chase each other with ghost sheets on their heads at the very end while the Don't Play the Blue Oyster Cult plays in the background?
No, that's not in The Frighteners at all.
It's not in The Frighteners?
No.
Wait a minute. Are you sure?
The killers are trying to get them in the sanitarium.
Yeah, I'm at the very very end. They're having a picnic.
Okay, yeah, they're having a picnic. I don't remember a sheet. I don't think so.
Okay.
Here's I should know this.
Triple backup. Yep. Was there not? Man, this better be true. I don't think so. The little kid in Trick or Treat, he wasn't wearing a ghost sheet, was he?
The actual like pumpkin head.
No, he was wearing a pumpkin mask.
He was under the Halloween decoration on the lawn.
Uh huh.
Wearing a sheet.
Okay, good. You bailed me out. Thanks.
There.
Man, I was like, I had to go deep on my bench.
Cut.
All right, Mac, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, hey, look who's here.
The Force and its wisdom are all around us. Oh. Ask your will, a yes or no question. Sense the Force in my left hand. Press it and answer you, I will.
All right, what do you want us to ask
all right.
There's questions of the supernatural?
Yeah, Yoda has stopped by, so just ask him a yes or no question, and he'll answer.
All right, is my house haunted?
The answer you seek is yes.
All right.
Will Dave be getting another Ghost Hunter series to review this week?
Clear your mind of questions. Only then the answer will you see.
All right, I got the cop-out answer.
That's not very good.
It's been 6 years since a child has come to our porch for trick-or-treat. Will we get a kid coming to our house for trick-or-treating?
The answer you seek is yes.
Excellent.
Will Dave's house be egged by that same child?
Masking the future is a disturbance in the Force.
Oh, man, he's giving me crappy answers.
He's giving me crappy answers.
My mind's not clear? Come on, Yoda.
Here's a question for Yoda.
We're talking about egging a house that could be interpreted as, yes, you'll get egged, because it's a disturbance.
Okay, Yoda, here's a question. Recently, Nickelodeon's been replaying reruns of the show Hey Dude, which I remember watching way back when and thinking it was okay. And watching it now, it's literally the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Does Hey Dude suck?
Yes, I sense this is.
Okay,
there you go.
He's calibrated, right? So that must be my problem.
It's on your end. Yeah.
let's see. Will Terra Nova be renewed for a second season?
Yes, I feel this will be.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. He's kind of biased. Sci-fi thing. Let's see. Will they make a prequel to the Thing prequel that they just made?
Yes, I feel this will be.
There you go. All
right. A lot of positive answers from Yoda tonight.
I know, Yoda.
All right, I'll give you one more here, Yoda. Let's see. How about... will I be getting a Bratz DVD to review?
There's one on the list. I
know. I didn't ask for it. So I want to know if I need to prepare myself.
Dave, get Bratz.
The answer you seek is no.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yoda, you are fine.
You saw that Yoda also talks to Michael Staley.
Shall we ask him? Does Yoda have an in with Michael Staley?
Yeah, go for it. Does he?
Difficult question you ask. Answer not clear.
He must have signed an NDA.
We're being coy on that one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, do you have any other questions for Yoda, Mac?
I think that'll do.
All right. Thank you, Yoda, for joining us. You got a hot date tonight?
Does he have a...
Much to learn you still have. You must feel the Force around you. Yeah. The answer then clear will become.
Yeah, that was a slightly sexy answer from
you. That was very slightly sexy. Sexy as Yoda can get, I think.
Yeah, feel the Force. I got you.
As a ceiling. This erotic. okay, so Eric, why don't you finish it off?
All right, I guess also semi in the Halloween spirit, wolves.
All right. Wolves.
I'll jump in. Great movie, really awesome. One of my favorites is crap, I can't think of the title.
Dances with Wolves.
No, but you can pick that one if you want.
No, I don't. I haven't seen it yet. My wife is telling me that we have to watch it, but we only have like the 5-hour version, so it's not.
Okay, we'll go with another movie, The Company of Wolves, which is that really sort of messed up retelling of the not Robin Hood, Red Riding Hood, but it's done in a very sort of gothic, very R-rated sense. Dark fantasy, very, very dark. And you guys, have you seen this movie?
No.
Oh, no? Oh, you should check it out. It's the Red Riding Hood story, but it is done really, like, sick and twisted. And it tells a couple of other stories along the way. You remember Jim Henson's The Storyteller?
Yes.
It kind of has a look and feel of that, and sort of that sort of fantasy vein with the real practical special effects, but definitely darker and bloodier and more R-rated. And there are wolves. There are really creepy wolves, the kind that just kind of stand there and stare at you, for that sort of gloomy, dark, creepy effect.
Nice.
It's a really cool movie. You guys should check it out.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you two answers. I don't think either one you've got to worry about, Eric, if you're stealing it. But one would be the movie Centurion, a movie
I enjoyed. Yoda.
Shut up, Yoda. Go away. movie Centurion, seen these two guys running away. One guy's injured. Wolves are pursuing them. And the guy just leaves the other guy to be eaten by wolves, which is a bummer. But more lighthearted, how about the wolf attacks that plagued Orange County in Arrested Development? Lots of, I think, Portia de Rossi in a fur coat being mistaken for a wolf. And Tobias walking around with a gun. He's got a lot of looks on the bus holding this thing.
Very lighthearted.
Yes.
Okay, mine, another scary movie that I watched this week. Either of you guys seen the movie Frozen?
I heard about it.
No, I haven't. Yeah, but yeah, like Dave, I've heard about it. I've seen the
trailer. This is sort of a 127 hours on a ski lift.
Right.
It's basically these three friends. They're on this kind of ski vacation. They like get the guy to let them go up one last time, and then a bunch of stuff happens. They end up getting stuck on the ski lift. No one knows, on the actual lift, 40, 50 feet up in the air. No one knows they're there. It's the last, they're going to be closed for a week. The temperature's freezing. There's a storm coming through, all that kind of stuff, and they figure out what to do. But there are quite a few wolves in that movie. And I guess I don't want to say too much about it, but they, they're not nice.
Circling
they are a menace. So, it's another movie on Netflix. I know we're DVD verdict. I probably shouldn't be pushing it. You can get the DVD, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe we reviewed it somewhere.
I'm sure we did. So go read the review. Let me know if I'm crazy. But it was an okay movie. Maybe a little contrived to get to that point. But once they get to, the craziness of what do you do in that situation, it gets pretty nuts. So that's my answer.
All right.
I was thinking of Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Oh, good.
Awesome movie. Yes. Yeah. But for some reason, my mind kept thinking Company of Wolves, which is that'd be a good double feature, actually.
Well, technically, there are some wolves in the background,
Yeah, they go on the wolf hunt.
That's right, but an actual wolf in the world, same way. Yeah. All right, that is it for this edition of the Friday Filibuster. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is our email. Thank you for listening. And, Mac, take us away.
Are you going to shiv me?